Órale pues, raza, welcome to Chicano Highlights. I am your host, Beto, Beto Man, and we have a very special guest here with us today. Coyote, with a K, ¿verdad?
Así es.
Órale. Now, it's Coyote the Blind, ¿verdad?
The Blind.
Órale. And why is it the Blind?
Because the world that we see around us, it's a simulation. You know, our nervous system creates it. There are no colors out there. We receive impressions of light, angles, vibration. And the brain is designed to add color to what we see, color and shading, so that we can determine how far things are, what our brain creates the best guess about what world we live in. Our senses are tuned in to impressions from this world, and what we hear, see, touch, it's all created by the brain. The world does not exist outside the way we think it does, the way we perceive it. We perceive it the way that our nervous system is designed to recreate it for us. But then you and I talk, and when we talk, we're sharing a common language, a cultural tradition. We're sharing a doing, you know, we're sharing activities and concerns. And together then we begin to negotiate what this world is like. And then we have this spread throughout civilizations and worlds. And so we have a common world and our constant negotiating about what it is really that we see out there. In all of this, we have created what's important for us as humans. There was a point when I could no longer see the veil of illusion, and I became blind to many of the concerns of the world. So it got me blind. I'm blinded by something silent and bright outside.
All right. Now, as you can tell, Raza, this is a spiritual leader. Some people in different communities, they call him by different names. A shaman, a medicine man. What else?
Oh, I'm just a guy, man, as lost as anybody else.
Órale, órale. Yeah. Now, let's jump into a little bit of your past, and then we'll jump into how you became a shaman, ¿verdad? So tell me, ¿de dónde eres?
I was born in El Salvador. I was born in the heart of what used to be the Pipil kingdom, named Cuscatlan, or the place of the jewel. I was born there and grew up in the middle of a war. And one day I found myself in a different reality. And I, for some reason, became aware of my lifetime as an entire entity. I could see it as a whole, the beginning, the end. And I saw myself, I saw different parts of my life, and I knew that I had been here before and that I needed to find a source of knowledge that was not, it was not offered or provided by society. And that's how I started my search. I was about 4 or 5 at the time. And I knew I had to find my way back to something I had known long ago.
So spiritual path. So what was the mechanism or the person that you talked to in order to start that road?
Well, immediately, the first person I talked to was my dad. And I said, hey, Dad, I heard about this guy named God. You know, do you know anything about him? Because I saw my aunts and my mom, you know, they were praying to God, and he could do, like, super cool stuff. And so I said, okay, who is this guy, and how can I talk to him? And my dad said, well, all I know is, he said, I know how you can talk to him. That's all I know. Well, how's that? And he said, well, I'll teach you. He said, what I know. So he went to bed, and he said, okay, say this, you know, Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, Holy Father who art in heaven. And I said, that, oh, okay, that sounds really cool. You know, so I said, what else that? What else? No. Just go to sleep with that. Okay, tomorrow we'll give you more. And so each night, one more line, right? And that's how it started. But then I went through many of the religions that were available. I became a Catholic, became a born-again Christian, became a Buddhist, became an atheist, became a Rosicrucian, a Gnostic, all of that. Until one day when I thought I was going to die on a trip back to El Salvador. I had been in exile since the mid-80s. The death squads were after me. You know. And one day I was able to go back and see my place, my people, my thing once again. And I got a terrible attack of tuberculosis on the road there. It was really a magical attack. But one night in a very bad state, I found myself in a cave inside a volcano, and an old Indian was there, and he told me that we were in the sixth world. He said, "We're inside a volcanic temple. You're in the sixth world. When you see me in the world of the humans, ask for the initiation of the army," he said. "Del ejército," dijo. "Okay." Then I woke up and, you know, I didn't die. I managed to get back to El Salvador. I was in treatment for about a year. And a year after I hit a strong attack of depression and tuberculosis and in a spiritual desert, I found him. I saw him again. And he was an Indian, Yaqui Lacandon Indian from Tecate, Mexico. His name was Cachora, Tezaki Huitame Cachora. And he was exactly the man that I had seen. And I talked to him. And the first thing he did is he talked to me about my journey. I had done a lot of work with the flesh of the gods, the sacred mushroom. And he drew the entrance of a cave, and he said, "That's the entrance to the underworld," he said. "And we take the mushroom, we enter here, and this is what happens." And he described my voyage exactly. And I knew that he had the kind of knowledge that I needed. So I went to see him. I searched for him. I went to see him, and I said to him, "Abuelo," I said, "I'm here to help you in whatever you need." I didn't ask for guidance, teaching, for anything. I just offered my help. So he looked at me, and he said, "From now on, you will be known in our tribe as Coyote." And as he was saying this, I did not see the room we were in. There were three of us. There was my brother Aguila, Cachora, and me. And the whole room seemed to disappear. We were in a field of light. I saw his forehead, and behind his forehead, there was this rising sun encompassing all. That's all I could see. And his eyes, the eyes of the Nahual, as he gave me my name. And he said, "Stay with me for 2 years." And I did. I went to pick him up every week, and I helped him. And that's how this thing started.
Now let's speed forward.
Yeah.
You started an organization, and you have a school here in Riverside.
Yeah,
a spiritual school, yeah. And it's held at your house. What is the school called?
We call it Xicoco Shamanic Arts. Xicoco is a Nahuatl word. It means beehive. It's with an X, X-I-C-O-C-O, Xicoco. We call it a beehive because the beehive was a traditional image for an esoteric school, a spiritual school. The way that the bees work is pretty much the way we work in the higher dimensions. no central leadership, and every bee dancing, following the scent that calls their true nature. And so we work together like that. We make art, crafts, we heal, we teach the sacred arts of healing, of dancing, of moving through the higher dimensions, of dreaming. And we live together.
Now, how many students do you have right now? Más o menos.
Well, I keep it small, so we're always under 20, mm-hmm. more or less. So it's a very strongly dedicated group that has been together for years now, and then a few that come and go, you know, over the years.
That's right, and I'm actually one of them. I've come in and out, verdad, to sit in certain sessions, verdad?
Well, no, you're familiar, man. You're always there. You're always there.
Your tradition is the Toltec tradition. What does that mean?
Before the Europeans came to these lands, there were two huge civilizations in this continent. One was in the central, spread out from the central part of Mexico, and this civilization was the Nahua people. The Nahua people gave rise to the lingua franca of the time, the Nahuatl, and this language is what held together the empires of the day. The two major Mayan civilizations, the Aztec civilizations, the Olmec civilization. To the south, you had the Incas, right? But in the northern part, which encompasses Mexico, and it goes pretty much all the way to southern Utah and Colorado, you had a movement of esoteric schools called the Toltecs. They were not the empire. They were rather spiritual and artistic schools that lived and grew in this vast land. Later, right before the start of the Aztec Empire, there were some city-states that were known as Toltecas or Toltecs because they were ruled under these principles. And so many people confuse that with the totality of Toltecs. But no, Toltec used to not be a ruler thing. It was more of a spiritual thing, an artistic thing. With the Spanish conquest, a lot of that was destroyed and erased, but we kept going underground and in the shadows. We maintained are part of the native resistance with our stories, with our art, and more than anything, with our way of looking, with our way of seeing, and therefore our way of dreaming. And now we're coming back to give our part to humanity, to share what we have.
So what are some of the things that you do at the school?
Well, we do sweat lodges, you know, we do sweat lodges, we guide people through vision quests, we teach people the art of dreaming, the art of healing. I do an art form called the telling, where with my words we create a space that is sacred, that is otherworldly, and we voyage together through the other dimensions. So the people participate and they can experience the effects of having voyaged through the higher dimensions through this. The latest thing that we have created with the efforts of everybody in the community is a medicine wheel. Right there in our property, it's a sacred circle facing the four directions with the sacred colors. And Beto, this is a small... It's not just a representation of the universe, it's really the universe inside this wheel. You know, every drop of water in the ocean shares of the qualities of the ocean, right? And in this case, we like to think of the wheel not so much as a drop in the ocean, but rather the ocean in a drop. It is the universe. The sacred wheel was the first of the sacred symbols, because in the beginning of creation, there is just a vast, empty expanse, and one particular point of view comes into play. And in that point of view, that knows itself as the infinite, you have a point and a circle. And so the point, center point, and the circumference became the first manifestation of this beautiful and vast universe.
So what can the medicine wheel do? Is it spiritual, mental, physical? What, like, if I was to walk in this wheel, what would happen to me?
Well, the first thing is that as you walk the wheel, you become conscious that you are inside somewhere. The whole universe is there, and you are facing it one-on-one. And the type of the technology that this creates, the spiritual technology that makes that this tool makes available to you, allows you to face the origin of all your issues, to see every, you know, whatever issue you have, PTSD, depression, midlife crisis, spiritual crisis, your spiritual quest, your love life, whatever. You go in there and you look at the East, and with the East, you experience the beginning of whatever is it that you want to get rid of, for example, right? And then you take that beginning to the South, and in the South, you see the maturity of this, or how things are right now. And then you bring all that content to the West, where everything dies, where the sun dies, and you surrender that. You give it away to this ocean of fire, which is the West. And then having surrendered that, you go to the North and you experience the silence of the midnight sun. And then you keep going and you continue with this. And at any time you face the center, there you have a direct, one-on-one, private communion with Source, with Creator. It is completely non-segmented. It does not belong to any religion and is not opposed to any religion or to any spiritual tradition. It is simply a tool that allows you to connect to yourself, to your true center. You can use it, as I said, to get rid of issues that are blocking you. You can use it to find out about the origins of your health problems and get rid of them. You can use it to pray and to have an encounter with power, an encounter with your own spirit.
And so can people partake in it? I mean, can people call you? Can they get on your Facebook and say, hey, I want to experience this? What do they have to do?
Well, the wheel is a gift to humanity. It's open to all. The universe is contained and therefore is a gift to the universe. There is never any charge. There is never any preconditions other than you respect the space where it's at. So don't leave anything in there. Don't take anything with you. Simply come in with an open heart and share on it. It's in private property. So, yes, it's best if you let us know that you want to come in. You can find me on Facebook at Coyote the Blind, and then message me there. Or you can send an email to shikoko93@me.com. I remember that's Shikoko with an X. XICOCO, the number 9, number 3, @gmail.com. I think I gave you a different .com before, but it's gmail.com.
Now, you also have a telling, ¿verdad? Now, people can partake in that I believe it's televised, ¿verdad?
We don't always televise the tellings. I think we have only televised one where I had a painter from up north do a painting while I was doing the telling, and we decided to broadcast that one. All the others are archived. I always announce when we're going to have one. Usually they, you know, you can come to a telling for about, I don't know, anywhere from $10 to $20, and sometimes it's free. It depends on where we are when we do it. And one day I'm going to release them all, but right now we just keep them contained to the people that show up.
That's right. And, yeah. and you mean like if you're in a location, let's say like a hall or something, that's what you're talking about.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Now, talk to me about what is the spirit?
There is only one being in this universe. The universe is the creation of one. The universe and its creation are one. There is no difference. And therefore, there is nothing opposing that original being. And you, Beto, you are the direct manifestation of that one being. You are the universe experiencing life as Beto, man. And I am the universe experiencing the universe as Coyote. And so every creature, every animal, every plant, every planet is a particular point of view of this creator, of the cosmic mind. The experience is limited to the complexity of the brain and nervous system that we carry. What animates this body is the spirit. It is a solar entity that covers the entire planet, and it is a force that animates every living and sentient creature. There are no different spirits animating different people or different animals. We're all part of the same life force. Just like all the light that we perceive comes from the sun, And therefore, even though we see variety of shades and colors, the force of the life of the sun is experienced in all its variety by us. But it's no different. The same perception that you have emanates from the same source that my perception has. It doesn't matter if you have use of your eyes or not. It is the same consciousness that illuminates the world around you.
Now, many people have been told that dreaming is just dreaming, that the spirit doesn't go anywhere, that you're just, you know, it's a subconscious thing and you're trying to work things out and that's why you have dreams. But in spirituality, they tell you many, many different things, that you can voyage, that you can leave your body, astral projection, a bunch of different stuff. Can you explain a little bit about this?
Yeah, you know, it's very simple. As I was saying before, the brain itself is blind, deaf, and it has no nerve endings, the brain. So the brain doesn't by itself experience anything. It receives impressions from the nervous system, right, from the five senses. Most of the vibrations that hit our body, our five senses, are disregarded by the brain. There is a point at the stem of the brain that decides what impressions are going to go in and which ones are not. And it decides that based on the reality construct it has created that lets you navigate this world in a more efficient way. So the world itself, as we perceive it when we are awake, is exactly the same as a dream. It's a reality construct that your brain is creating, and it creates an image of you as an avatar in that dream. When you go to sleep and you awake in a dream, what has happened is that your brain waves have slowed down to the alpha state, then to the delta state, and to the theta state. And then at that moment, the waking self no longer exists. You are not aware of yourself. The ego is not aware of anything. And from that point, then, another world is created by the brain and another person within the brain that you are going to inhabit. And that's why that dream, when you're having it, seems to be the real reality around you. And you don't remember anything about your day, and you don't remember anything about the other dreams. It's just that one, with occasional connections between them. Then you go back down into the theta, and then you wake up into another dream. And this cycle repeats itself. So from that point of view, there's really no difference. At any point that you're having any experience, you are the center of an experience. And that's all that we are at any moment, whether we are alive, dead, in this life, in the afterlife. We're always creating a dream, and I am always navigating that dream. So learning to navigate your dreams, learning to master your dreaming, is truly learning to master your existence and to master your own perception.
All right. And so then, is there readings like, okay, let's say, is there one book or several books? Because you talk about a journey.
Yeah.
And that journey has taken you through a spiritual path of ups and downs through what you said, Buddha, Christianity, Catholic. There is no one spot. I mean, do you just have to taste them all?
You have to taste your own journey. No journey is better than any other journey. I had to go through what I had to go through, and you have to go through what you have to go through. We go through life collecting experiences the same way that a builder collects material that he's going to use. Never think that your past is you. You are not your past. Your past is only how you got here. And here you are a pure and perfect reflection of cosmic consciousness, having all these experiences at hand. I wrote a book about all this. It's called The Golden Flower. I recommend it. We are all different, so I'm not going to tell you that you have to read this book. And I cannot tell you what is right for you. All I ask is you buy it. That's all. But you don't have to read it.
Arale pues. Any last comments? I know that they could find you on your Facebook with a K, Coyote the Blind, right?
Coyote the Blind with a K. Also on a website, coyotetheblind.com, you can find me. And you know, I don't have all the answers. I don't have what is best necessarily for you. I only have my own experience, my own artistic expression, and that's all I have. And so if you're attracted to it, I invite you to come check it out. I invite you to come and walk the wheel. You don't have to be in any way connected to my teachings to walk the wheel. That's between you and your creator.
That's right. All right. So that's going to do it for us, Raza. You'll come back, ¿verdad?
I'll come back anytime, bro.
Órale, pues. That's going to do it for us, Raza. We want to thank you all for tuning in. Remember that you've been listening to KUCR 88.3 FM, simulcast on KUCR.org. You've also been listening to Radio Aslan 88.3 FM here on your station ID. It's every Friday night from 5:30 in the afternoon to 7 a.m. in the morning. You've also been listening to EastLAReview.com. That's REVUE.com. Órale, pues. Ahí te guacho. Hasta la próxima.